What up, what up, what up? If you are tired of being taken advantage of by doing free work, being promised exposure, the dreams of all the things that you could imagine coming true because you do this job, you were told that they were going to give you more work and all this leads and make all this money, and ultimately you're just left irritated, frustrated, and broke. Well, then I'm going to talk about good free work versus bad free work, and stop having free work make you miserable and have it make you rich and have it make you happy. I have utilized free work to be able to do work that I love, to travel the world, to work with people like Tony Robbins and been to Richard Branson's Island, and ultimately have a lot of fun doing what I love. And it has been through free work that opened up those doors. And I have many examples of that. And I think that there's a lot of talk out there about don't do free projects. You can't turn a free project into a paid project. You can't, you know, you'll never get somebody who does something for free to pay you more money. And that's a truth for someone. I always say everyone can speak for someone, but someone cannot speak for everyone. So even today, I'm going to talk about some things where leveraging potentially strategic, if you will, free work, it may not work as well for you, depending on how you're wired, how open you are to things, how willing you are to look at things through a different lens and a different perspective. Because I just had a client yesterday where it was so fascinating. So in video production, I love doing what could be called a sizzle reel, a highlight reel, a hype video. There's lots of different terms for it, but basically it's a music video. It's clips to music. That was really, at the end of the day, what was my sweet spot. And in video to this day is still my sweet spot. And still, when the opportunities arise, it is still where I create the most value and have the most opportunity to get paid well. And so what I found is that in the client conversation I had, he's telling me, you know what, man, I got this video right now that I'm working on, and it's this hype video, and I hate it. And I thought to myself, one person's trash is another's treasure. One person's blessing is somebody else's curse. Because for me, it was in doing, literally in doing hype videos, sizzle videos, music videos, that I found the greatest joy. Where he went on to say, oh man, when I get to do interviews and I get to plan this thing, yada, 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 man, I love doing that. But these hype videos, and he had this negativity around it. And I thought, well, there's part of the problem. If you take that just in that realm of free work, some people, to pull off a free project, it will cost them a lot of time and a lot of money. And so to the degree that you're going to do something for free, especially if the process of doing the thing you do not enjoy, or you're doing it for an outcome, meaning what you're doing, you either wouldn't do normally, right? So somebody comes to you, and this is one of the key right out of the gate, good free work, bad free work. People come to you promising you the stars, the universe, the moon, and everything else in between, right? And they say, we're going to hook you up. We know a lot of people. We're going to do this. We're going to do that, you know, but we don't have any money. Yeah, this is an investment in your future, whatever they want to say to you, right? Exposure. I find that probably 9 out of 10 people who do that won't live up to anything that they say. They typically, not always, but typically are takers. Now, sometimes something will come along and it's a good cause and they're authentic and, you know, they may wish to do those things, but you don't care. You're just like, this is awesome. I'm so glad this person seeked me out and is giving me this opportunity. I want to do this, right? The problem is when free work comes your way that you wouldn't otherwise do and you don't want to do, or you become the order taker in the doing, meaning they come to you with something you wouldn't otherwise do, you don't want to do, they're promising you all this stuff, they're not going to pay, and they're also controlling every aspect of the production or the opportunity, right? Red flag, red flag, red flag. Run away. The probability is there's nothing good that's going to come of that. Because when you get done with that, when you get done with any project in the grand scheme of things, my biggest rule of thumb is, are you proud of it? And if somebody came to you and wanted you to do that again, would you be like, hell yes, I can't wait to do that again. And I don't care whether it's free or you're getting paid. When you get done with a project, to me, the greatest chance of longevity and success in any field is that when you create things, you're creating stuff you're proud of, not stuff you're like, God, I hope no one sees that. Oh my gosh. If somebody asked me to do that, I'm going to pull out my hair. Right. But what happens to a lot of creatives is they have people come to them and they say, here's what I want. And it doesn't even matter if it's for pay or free or anywhere in between. They come to the creative and say, this is what I want. And sometimes you get the client who is like, rock and roll. You're like, the pay is great. There's a great opportunity. Everything about this is amazing. Everything I want to do. And all the stars align. I've found in my career that the stars align over time. They can align a lot more. But in the beginning of your career, they don't always align all the time. And so there's a time and a place where you can just say yes, you can do the job so that you can maybe get a little money or whatever. But if it is free, this is the key. Because I think that everybody's at a different phase, and that's why I like when particular people ask questions. And if you have a question, leave a comment, send me a message. You know, I'm showing up right now to do these based on things I'm pulling all over the place and different things I've talked about in clients. But I want to make sure that these are continue to be custom tailored to an individual that other people can benefit from. So if you have a question, don't hesitate to ask. I do these live. So there is an opportunity to catch me while I'm live and interact and ask questions and say, yeah, but. And I love that. I love clarifying things for people because for me, it's not about one size fits all, about one size fits you. And so for me, there's a lot of, you know, black and white, don't do free work or do free work. And for me, there's a gradient. It all depends on the situation, right? And so this aspect where we are, you know, doing this free work that is, that's coming our way. We must be in control. Number one, for free work, it's coming to you. You must be in control. If you're getting paid work, I would say at times in an early part of your career, do what you got to do to get the job, right? Do what you got to do to get the job. Do a great job. Do your best job. But sometimes do potentially what the client wants and then also do what you want. Because what you want to quickly get to is that you are always collaborating with a client, but you're also being able to speak up. Have an opinion, have thoughts, be quote unquote an authority, be an expert. Because the creatives who get paid the most have opinions. They're not what I again call an order taker. Typically in most positions on this world, a person who has zero thought process that goes into anything and opinions and you are a button pusher for somebody else will get paid the least. The more opinions that you can provide. Now, do the people respect your opinion? Well, that's a whole different conversation. But I find that I want to be in a world where I respect my own opinion and I'm with people who want my opinion, not people who don't care. Because again, typically people who are like, don't value, if you don't value what you do, you'll have less people value what you do. But even if you value what you do and you let people run all over you, you'll typically be miserable. And so what I found though is that to the degree that my client had the kind of work that he liked to do takes a lot more time. And so when he does a project that's free, he may have to spend 30 or 40 hours afterwards to create something he's proud of. Whereas when I was done with events at times, I already created the thing that I'm proud of that I could get paid $5,000 to $8,000, $10,000 for. So the thing I did for free that I could be done in a day, 2 days, 3 days was something I was proud of, something I was excited to do. I wanted to do, I enjoyed the process of doing. And when I left, I was done. I didn't have 40 more hours because the longer time horizon we spend on something, the greater the disappointment if we don't get the outcome, unless what we love is in the process of doing. So if you're only doing something in hopes that you, hold on. Sorry, I had to sneeze. If you're only doing something in hopes of an outcome, exposure, opportunities, more money, right? If it's only in the promise of something outside of you and not that the thing that you got to do you enjoyed, then you'll be massively disappointed if that doesn't play out. Most of the things that I have done in my career that have been free, that have led to great opportunities, have come as a byproduct of I can't not do it. Like right now, right? Rather than me attempt to figure out, well, how do I sell people into a $5 a month membership and yada, 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 and sell them this thing and sell them this call and yada, 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 all this kind of stuff. I am showing up. And right now, the lighter that I play with this, right? I want to inspire. I know I do a ton of stuff in private and I kept saying, I got to do more in public. And as I've done this, more opportunity has come my way. And so the biggest thing for me is, you know, I want to do what I love to do and do it where people can see me doing it, and then do something that I would do anyways, or do something I'm already doing anyways. The same day at it for my wedding career. I had lots of people tell me, if I can't get paid for it, don't do it. I see people's packages all the time that where they're like, this package includes a drone and this and this and this and these things. And each package, as you tier up, it technically is making a better video. And I understand, right? Like, I tend to preach the opposite of what most people have. I've also gotten results in my life that are different than what most people have gotten. And so I don't follow the norm. And I find that the more norm I'm trying to follow, the more miserable I'm typically being. Because if I followed a lot of people's advice in regards to, well, if you're not getting paid for it, don't do it. Okay. Well, then the same day at it, I would have had about 80% of the ones probably that I did between 2006 and 2010 wouldn't have happened. And I can almost guarantee you that ultimately what happened in my entire career was a byproduct of choosing to do them anyways. And I mean, do them anyways, regardless of getting paid. I got paid to do the wedding, but I tried to sell it and I couldn't figure out how to get it sold as an extra. Right. And then till I did. And then I got paid to pretty much just do that, which was the thing I love the most and my clients love the most. But people told me, if I'm not getting paid, don't do it. Right. People tell you, if you're not getting paid for your drone, for your gimbal, for your this, for your that, then don't do it. Right. And so what I found is that for me, if somebody invites me to, like, in my video career, when people would invite me to something, you know, that one of the biggest things that also led to working with Tim Ferriss and so many other amazing opportunities was, my buddy was going to do something for this Halloween party of a big agency in town. And he invited me. And I said, I don't want to go. I'm not a party guy. I'm not a networking guy. Like, I like to do what I do. And when I was doing video, it was shooting, right? It was shooting and creating a cool sizzle video. And so for me, I said, hey, you know, imagine this for a second. I'm being invited to something to just go and interact and roam around, right? And just say hello. Right? No extra effort, no challenge, no difficulty, no editing, no shooting, no nothing. What did I do? I said, no, I don't want to go, but I'll go if they'll let me make them a video. I'll go if they'll let me make them a video, a free video. Now, I'll let them go if they let me make them a video and they pay me to do it. No, I'll go if you ask these people if they'd be willing to let me make a free video for them. Now, mind you, some people still won't want some for free. That's a whole other conversation. But that's what I did. So rather than not have to work, which, here's the key, in my career, the things that have really taken off for me, I don't consider work. See, running around with that camera and filming that event was not work for me. It was not heavy. It was not hard. It was more fun for me. And over again, I don't know if it was subconscious. Over time, I think it became more conscious and intentional. But it's what opened up the doors. Me running around going, hi, Michael Gavin, I own a video production company. I'm a coach. I did these things. Like, that never does me any good. But when I had a camera in my hand and I'm running around and I go, look at this clip, and they're like, wow. And then what do you do? Oh my God, well, I'm thinking this. And then that video's online and they see it and they remember me because I was friendly and I was so easy to get along with. That's the other thing, being easy to get along with, right? That's a big competitive advantage nowadays, big competitive advantage. And so for me, I do what I can't not do. It's very challenging for me to show up and make something I'm not proud of. Now, the unfortunate thing for some people is what you may be proud of takes a lot more time than what makes me proud. And that could be the problem from time to time. I can make things I was proud of in a day, in half a day, in 2 days, in 3 days. Some people, what they really get jazzed about working on might take a month. And they may even love that process. The problem is I can do 20 things in the time frame it takes you to do one thing. I get a lot more at bats, right? I get to swing the bat more. I get to try to hit the ball more. And so the problem is, especially if it's free and you're being promised something, if you don't enjoy that journey and what you do to make you proud takes a month, the expectation raises, the disappointment is greater in the fact that if you do this thing and it doesn't give you what you were promised, you're pissed, you're upset, you're disappointed, right? Now, if it was a project where all the work you got to do was something you were excited about and you're proud of, regardless of the time, if you were just excited that you got to do it, that's why I typically, good free work for me is work that I seek out most of the time. They didn't ask me to do that free video back in 2010, that Halloween party that I filmed that I did for free. They didn't ask me to do that. I asked them to do it. I asked Tim Ferriss to film a free video for him. I asked Tony Robbins to film a free video for him. And people say, well, didn't you expect something? Well, sure. I mean, I'm a human. It'd be cool if something came of these things. But a lot of times I was like, I want to get back to Tim Ferriss. I want to get back to Tony Robbins. I'd rather go make this video at this party than I would not. I didn't know what would come of it. I had no idea. Now, more times I can see that there's big possibilities that could come. If I'm doing something I love and I do it well and I do it great and I keep showing up and doing it, eventually something great will come of it. I've seen it over and over and over again. I have to remind myself because in the moment sometimes, like right now, I can pretty much most of the time do this video. It's somewhere between 4:30 in the morning and 7:30 in the morning. Like there's almost nothing overall, unless I happen to go to bed late, that interrupts that part of my day. The rest of my day can go all over the place at times, but that part of the day I can. But right now, I can't guarantee that necessarily there's going to be that many people on, right? But that's okay. I am showing up. Because before I can improve something, I've got to do something. Before you can improve something, you've got to do the thing. You know, I heard, I think it was, you know, some of you are into Alex Ramosi. And somebody asked him something. He said, well, I've got this guy who's working for me now. And, you know, he's starting to work out. And he says, what kind of regimen should I be on? And Alex says, the gym. What do you mean? He goes, well, you've just told me you've proven to yourself that you never can show up for yourself consistently. You always give up. You always quit. So before you start improving all this stuff and optimizing and adding all this complication to it, you need to just show up and do it. Have you ever heard of like James Clear with Atomic Habits and all these things, especially, you know, at times I don't mention as much of the neurodiversity and ADHD on these calls. You know, I think that it's interesting because although those are the people that at times probably help the most right now, those in videographers, I think at times I don't see people through deficit and disability and good or bad, or I just see people. And I say, when I hear you, I can help you. And so for me, you know, I didn't even know I had ADHD for the majority of my life, right? Until a year or two ago. And so, you know, for me, I had a lot of success having no idea in a lot of ways what I was doing. And the irony is that between, you know, I would say the big C and then these different things that happened in 2020 and on, you know, I realized that there were certain things that happened in my life that I had available from people and team and support that then over time I didn't have. And then I had all these little traumas happen and it started to stack and it had me become a person who was overthinking everything and overanalyzing everything like this, even overanalyze. What title should I use? How should I intro this? How should I start it? How long should I go? What should I say? What should it look like? All these things. And then right now I'm realizing if you're running, looking for a sunset in the wrong direction, nobody can help you tell you that you're just going in the, you just need to turn around if you're not even running, if you're just talking about it. Right? There's nothing that can be improved upon. I can be running. I'm doing all this stuff and I'm doing it and taking this action. And I've been doing it for a while. And then I go to people and I go, I can't find the sunset. And they're like, well, tell me some stuff about it. And they're like, you're doing everything right. Everything. You're just going in the opposite direction. Just turn around. Right? So before I need to figure out and improve anything about these videos, I got to show up for me. I did a video the other day. You first, me first, others second. Right? This idea that I've got to just show up. You've got to just show up. See, for me, the free work I did, for some reason, I always felt overall that that's the kind of opportunity for me to just do what I want, what makes me happy. And what I realized is when I was happy, when I was excited, when I was loving what I'm doing, other people loved it versus me coming in with a bad attitude because I'm doing something because somebody said that that's what you need to do. So if you love, if you thought I can't just do sizzle videos, well, I'm here to tell you, give it a try. But if you're like, I hate it, well, then you've got to find a way to potentially simplify some of what you do and make something you can be proud of. But also I would just say, enjoy the journey, enjoy the process, do things you want to do, right? And forget the outcome. All you can control are the inputs. What you're seeing, though, is a lot of creators, especially online, who are getting massively disappointed because they're putting a lot of time into something And then you're seeing people who look like they're not putting any time into something doing really well. Imagine that you just spent 3.5 months working on something. And you're hoping it's going to get you a lot of subscribers or a lot of views or make you a lot of money. And so you didn't really do it the way you'd like to do it. You did the way you thought you had to do it. And then in doing it that way, you didn't get the outcome that you wanted. And it really wasn't that enjoyable, right? But you did it this particular way because you thought this is what the algorithm needs. This is what this client needs. This is what this outside of you. And you hated the process. What's the likelihood you do that again and again and again and again and again until it gives you the result? And the more expensive something is, the less likely you can sustain it as well. I know there's this one guy, I can't remember his, it was Austin something. I can't remember his name now. He's on YouTube and he's like, I wanted to have this entertainment, education, content in the personal development space. And he's like, I don't know, man. I think he did it for a little while. Then he's like, I'm going all in for a year. And at the end of the year, he's like, I can't sustain it. Like, to a degree, enjoys it, but financially, it was not lucrative. He's putting out like one video a month, you know, sometimes one every other month. They're costing like $25,000. $25,000. You know, he had gotten to, I think, 500,000 plus subscribers. But he's like, it's not working. Like, there's videos that take me, you know, 5 or 10 hours to create. I put that out. And it gets more views and more engagement than a video that took me 2 months and 200 hours and $25,000, right? My man, Brett Culp, I don't know if he'll hear this right now, but my man, Brett Culp, has had some amazing documentaries he's made on Batman and Superman. And he's just absolutely a gem of a human being. And I believe it was the Batman that was first. And he raised $80,000. And I might have this in reverse, but it was, I think it was the Batman first, and he raised $80,000 on a campaign. And then the documentaries had raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for charity, and he was crushing it. And then he went to do the Superman one. And the first one, he kind of cranked out the trailer pretty quickly and didn't spend as much time and didn't have these like high expectations, just like, hey, let's get this done. More of that inspired quick action. And so the next one, he's like, oh, I got people I got to impress. I got to do this. I got to do that. And so I'm going to spend a lot more time on this trailer and really make it a banger, you know, if you will. And he spent a disproportionate amount of time relative to the other one. And I think he raised like $20,000, $25,000 on that one. And that was a huge hit, right? Because it wasn't, I'm just spending more time because the other one sucked and it didn't work, so maybe more time will equal a better output. It was, I got a lot of people paying attention to me now, so I really got to make this right. And it didn't end up panning out that way. And I think what you're seeing is that there's a lot of creatives as well who are doing stuff for free and they're having a blast. And then people see that and ask them to start doing it for free. And then the problem that happens is when they start getting paid, they start changing. And so sometimes people say, what got you here won't get you there. I always love that phrase. And again, there's truths in these things, but they're all dependent on a lot of variables. They're very nuanced. They're not these facts. To me, fact, true for everyone. Fiction, true for someone, not true for everyone. Meaning these cliches and these things that get thrown out, like most of them, they have truth in them, but they're not the truth. They're not a fact. They're not true for everyone, right? Where if you applied it to everyone, it would all get the same result. And so, so that idea that, I lost my train of thought there. What was I saying? Anybody here? Anybody on? Huh? We got anybody? Nobody on right now. Well, dang it. That's why I love feedback. Somebody keep me on. I don't get off very often, but dang it. Oh, yeah. So back at it. So that's what's happening is they say what got you here won't get you there. And the truth of the matter is there's a sliver of truth to that. But at times what got people to where they are, they change everything. And then it's not that it maybe doesn't take them other places or take them another level. But what happens is what they love that got them there, they now hate that's getting them there. Does that make sense? So you love something. You're so thrilled and excited to do it. And then when somebody asks you to get paid to do it, you're like, oh my God, I can't imagine somebody's paying me to do this. But then all of a sudden you start doing it differently because now there's input from other people. They're starting to pay you. And you're like, I can't just do it that way that I was doing it. So you start changing and evolving. Sometimes that changing and evolving is good. And other times it's not so good. Right. And so what I'm seeing is more times than not, it's not so good. And people are doing things that they don't really want to do. And then it's not sustainable. It's very difficult for a car that's not built to go 120 miles an hour to be redlining all the time. You're going to kill it, right? And so there are people doing things that they're not really designed to do and don't really want to do. They're not excited about doing, but they're doing because they think they have to. Well, have-tos aren't sustainable. I haven't seen have-tos ever sustain in my life, and I don't seem to see too many people. The more I study people, the more I study companies and people and brands, the more I see that the have-tos or should-dos that aren't intrinsic aren't sustainable. And I think you're seeing there's a lot of creators who aren't managers, and they're hating it. They're hating managing people, and they just want to get back to a place where they just created for fun. It's when people make it a business that they usually suck the life out of it. And one of the things I'm continuing to practice each and every single day is to just simply have fun. Let's have a little video here right now. Let's do this for fun. So I can show. So see, I'm taking out my camera. I'm going to post this. So this is a video I'm doing a live stream right now. And I wanted to say that the thing that I'm doing is I'm doing my best to continue to have fun and make it light in what I'm doing. I think we see a lot of creators who they started for fun. They loved what they do. They did. They loved what they were doing. They were free. But essentially what happened? They started to get paid and they changed. And the change for a lot isn't good. It isn't fun. It isn't enjoyable. And so as a byproduct, it's not sustainable. To sustain something for the long haul, you by and large need to enjoy what you're doing. And when you don't, you'll quit. And so for me, I'm taking everything and being lighter and looking at decades, not days. I'm not looking at the one, I'm looking at the collective. I'm looking at the many. So this is just one of many, many videos. And if I just have fun and don't worry and take imperfect inspired action, magic can happen and I can sustain and I can be here to say rock and roll. So there we go. Quick video. And just be light. Be fun. Keep it easy, right? And I know that I've been able to get paid to keep it light, to keep it fun, to be easy. Because where I brought the most value is where I had the most fun. It's possible for you. You can do free work you love. It can make you happy and it can make you rich. In other topics, you can learn how to keep it better than me. But that's okay. I'm getting better every day. We're not all perfect. So anyways, it's been fun. It's been fun doing this. And the less pressure you put on yourself to perform a certain way, speak a certain way, dress a certain way, shoot a certain way, edit a certain way, speak a certain way, draw, write, create, design a certain way. You got to create your way because it's the only way for you. The last thing you want is to succeed doing something you hate. And then you've got to maintain doing something it drains. I like to rhyme. So let the cards lay where they may. You can continue to learn and tweak and adjust, but take it a little lighter, shine a little brighter. I like those rhymes. Anyways, have fun, my friend. Go to themindmechanic.net, send me a DM, go to the contact page there. If you want your own private interaction with me, and you don't want to leave comments publicly, you don't want to share something publicly, ask your questions, and you've got something you want to get off your chest, you want to see what it's like to work with me, just send me a message. I'm super simple to work with. I work with people privately, what we call asynchronously. So there's no scheduled calls. I hate scheduled calls. I like having a free flowing schedule. It's just what I do. So the way I've been working with people is unique and different, just like I am, just like you probably are. And I've been doing it for 5 years. And I can tell you, for me, anybody I seek out coaching, I don't like the scheduled Zoom calls or anything else. I got my friends and closest family and whatever that I can jump on a phone call or whatever with. But when it comes to actual coaching, I find that the method I use, I am more effective than most people probably even are on a synchronous call. I know I'm better in this way than I am But if you want to check it out, let me know. Send me a message. And it's an honor. It's a pleasure. Keep rocking. Keep rolling. And we'll talk soon. Take care. Bye-bye.